Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Chaverim. Shalom, Chassidim. Yes, I. Here. Here we're at the day after the morning, the dawning service, the first day service right here, but still in the meditation on this 23rd of July, the Shabbat, still in the Aliyah here for this Torah reading and feeding. About to go to the seventh Aliyah right here, beginning off a new Shabua, a new seven, a new strong, a new week, 7 days right here. But very interesting, very, very interesting. Do you feel it? Do you feel the rise of the dog star here on this earthly plane? Is it like what they call the dog days, you know, the dog days of summer? You can really feel that heat right here, the rise of the dog star. What does this mean, Habareen? Hopefully we have an opportunity here on the ear to address this and to reason on the prophecy, prophetic fulfillment, where we're at here 130 years later. And also, what is that work to be done by the set apart ones, by the saints? Now, once again, note that the psalm, according to the royal order, Ethiopian Hebrews after the order of Melchizedek for the 23rd, Psalm 52, and zooming in on that 11th verse again, I will give thee thanks forever, for Iva, Odekah, Le'olam, because for thou hast done it, Ki Asita, because the I, speaking to he who be, we be, he has done, did it. And it says, and I will wait for thy name. I will wait for thy name. Why, Kaveh, Shimka, for the Hashem, for the name, for the name, the name, the name. Why? Ki, for Tob, Tawab, for good, for it is good. I will wait for thy name for good. So even right here, very interesting, about ones and ones, hopefully, you know, tune in, whether call in right here on the ear and in the iris, the 515, you know, the number, 515-602-9761 on the YouTubes, Rastafari Israelites. Yes, I, Rastafari Israelites. Yes, it's on right now, Rastafari Israelites, it's on. I see the memo just popped up on the phone, but here, so the meditation, so it says, I'll wait for thy name, for the Hashem, for it is good. Now, from the Hebrew, there is the Hebrew, the two truths. Both I and I will wait for thy name, because thy name is good, and I'll wait, right? I will wait for thy name for good. I'll wait on thy name for goodness, for that goodness. And it says right here, Neged Chatzedeka. Neged chasedeka, before. Neged, like to stand before, like in the presence, a sense is like in the presence of thy saints, chasedeka. The chasedeka are the chasedim. And we know that the chasid is an attribute of Yahuwah Elohim, Eloheinu. So here in this fulfillment, also seeing the content of the 52nd Psalm, pointed for this day, this time right here, corresponding with the earth day, right, of the Son of Man, that birthday of Litz Tefari Mekonen, that man child. So this particular psalm right here, it is very interesting because we pointed out in the first service, we had Catch a Fire, the Timothy White book, the second chapter, Kingdom Come. And it gives a collection of testimonies concerning the birth of Litz Tefari, Ras Tefari Mekonnen, also known as upon the throne of Great King David, Ketamawi Haile Selassie, and his earthly father, the father, right? The drought was over, right? You know how the drought was over, but there was seeming conflicting signs. I'm mentioning this because even I myself, in going over this psalm, said, interesting, other psalms on other days, sometimes the meaning or the connection with the revelation is easier to see and to cite. But here, this psalm is much like what is said in Catch a Fire in the first part, where it says that even though the drought was over before the birth of the man-child, Litz Tefari Teferi Mekonnen, before his birth, there was a drought from 1889, and his birth in 18, 92, right? And the drought now being over, the rain's coming, the rain's returning. Mekonnen, right, the son of man's father, exalted to himself, but then the prince's mood darkened. Truly mighty signs and portents were rapidly multiplying on this most curious and fateful birthdays. So here we're speaking about the 23rd of July. 23rd of July, this particular day, right? And significance in the revelation of Revelation chapter 12, and that man-child, the sign and the seal of that man-child, weep not, behold, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, weep not, behold, Kedemawi, Haile Selassie. But check it, these signs that were rapidly multiplying on that most curious and fateful Earth Day birthday, they were in conflict, seemingly. The rains had come and the drought was at an end, but the spoiled fruit of the earth and the harsh skeleton fingers of the sky were contrasting omens. Now, we pointed out Psalm 68, you know, I and I is Rastafari, Psalm 68. And this right here, let's see if we can just touch on this right here, just to remind ones and ones, right? And for those who may not have heard, here's a psalm we're speaking about right here.
Let
here,
God
here.
Arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, Yah, Yah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
Uh-oh, the rebellious dwell in what kind of land? A dry land. So let's study some geography, hey? So a dry land. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, which verse was that right here, here, here? Right, that was verse 6. Let's just move forward right here. Just here in looking at the signs, kingdom come of the birth of the man-child, Lich Tefari Mekonnen, a.k.a. Haile Selassie Earth Day. Here it says, O Elohim, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the Midbar, Selah. So even here in this 41st sabbatical study for the Shabbat Strong, we have a new generation. It was that old generation, the old heads, the elders of the youth here in the Torah narrative right here for this 41st sabbatical study here on the first day service, that we have them marching. We have this march through the Midbar, the wilderness, and on the edge, right, of the Canaan, the Africanite land. Verse 8, it says, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of Elohim. Now, in that context of the heavens dropping, also is connected in a kind of a metaphoric sense of even dropping that rain. You know, those signs from heaven, particularly the rain. It says, even Sinai, right, itself was moved at the presence of Elohim, Elohei Yisrael, the Elohim, the power of Israel. But here's the verse, because we know that verse 4, I and I is Rastafari, the elders show I and I this. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him, right? Even given a description, right, that we see fulfilled in his divine majesty, a father of the fatherless, a judge of widows, is El Elohim in his holy, his set apart habitation. But here, verse 9, it says, thou, O Elohim, this send a plentiful rain. So we have the drought from 1889. Then with the birth of the man-child, at the birth of the man-child, the rains resume in 1892. That's a sign right there. Thou, O Elohim, this send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Just to ask the brothers and sisters in the Habarim and the listeners, hasn't that ever happened? I don't know if it happened to the eye. It might have. Hopefully the eye recognized it, being in that moment, you know, to receive it, to Kabbalah it. But, you know, something happens or something's going on and the rain just happens right then. even though the rain was not really expected. You know, in those times when it rains and it's not expected, but it rains and something is going on this earthly plane, and then the rains come down, you say, wow, that is mystic. That's interesting. You see a connection right there. Well, here, this is the overview right here. This is the overstanding here of the revelation of the birth of the man child, Lich Tefari. Yes, I, the plentiful rain whereby thou didst confirming thine inheritance when it was weary. And that kind of leads us also to a couple of other scriptures as we shared in the first part, just to share just a little portion of this again. This man, this was born, this God-man, the King of Kings.
With Ethiopia, this man was born there, Babylon, to them that know me. Mention of Rahab and Babylon, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
So right here, it's a ride up. We're still in the seventh Aliyah right here. But this is interesting. This is a meditation right here. So I and I giving thanks for Ivan because it's done did, and there's more work for I and I to do. But the connection here that we were sharing is from this Psalm, Psalm 52, in the, let's see, which verse would this be in the KJV? There's a slight different numbering right here. Hold on, brothers and sisters. We're looking at the Hebrew, it'll be verse 11, but in the KJV, it'll be verse 9, where it reads, I will praise thee forever for Iva because thou hast done it. I will wait on thy name, for it is good before the saints. Before the saints, his name is good before the saints, right? But before the ain'ts, well, it ain't so, but for I and I and I.
Padamawi.
The whole place is due for
help. And I will praise the eye for Iva because I have done this. Yeah.
You named a God and is terrible among men. He did not like the name. Yes, and you named a God and is terrible among men. He did not like the name. When I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like the name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like the name.
I and I are the black Jews. And Israel king is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I-N-R-I,
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
Yes. And that also in Psalm 68 as well, right there, when Yisrael is marching through the wilderness. So here for the first day, on the first day service, here Sunday service, first day service, right here, we have Psalm 24 for the first day of this new Shavuah right here, fulfillment on the Shabbat day. We have Psalm 24. Psalm 24 on the first day, the coronation of the King of Kings on the first day. And before that, in the first Advent, the resurrection day, Yeshua HaMoshiach, raised by Elohim Ha'ab on that first day.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. 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 Selah.
So here from the liturgy of the true church and of the fasting church, the church of He Who Have the Key of Great King David. Church of Philadelphia, brotherly love from His Majesty's Church here. Here's what it said. What it said on the first day. Sama, Sama, hear this.
Sos enya be'lete hud yemibal. Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidk enya sara senvetina yakabram sohulu sadikno. ወደ እግዚአብሔር አምልኮ ተይገባ ከምእመናና ይለየኝ የሆነ ፈጽሞ አይበል ጽድቅን የሰራ ሰንበትን ያከብረም ሰው ሁሉ ጻድቅ ነው. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer, Ekaziaber Cha Rastafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senvet.
And that's what's said right there, so we know that the Son of Man, the man-child, and the righteous, the Israelites of Ethiopia, yes, Sabbath keeper right there, honoring the Shabbat, the Senbet, and here gathering together on the first day service right here on the ear and the eye, would rise up the chant, psalm, the evening psalm for the first day, Muta.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
World and they that
the world
therein.
And they that dwell therein. For he had found it upon the sea.
He had born and he done the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jacob?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that has clean hands
and
a pure heart.
And pure heart.
Who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He hath received the blessing from Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. Generation of them that seek him.
This is a generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say,
lift them up,
ye
everlasting doors, King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory, yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory? Emperor Haile Selassie I. He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Jah Rastafari. He is the King of Glory. King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Who is the King?
Who is the King of Glory?
Who is the King?
Emperor Haile Selassie I.
Emperor
of Ethiopia. King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Conquering Lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself. Light of the world.
Zion, yes, I, Rastafari.
Yeah.
Foundation is in the whole of mountain. Jealous is the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things have been spoken of the O city of God. I'll make mention to Rehob and Babylon to them that know I. With the old Philistine Tyria with Ethiopia, it shall be said that this man was born there. And the highest himself shall establish the earth. Jah Rastafari.
So here, before we ride up and complete the seventh Aliyah from the Torah and then move forward to the Haftarah, the prophet's reading, and the New Covenant, New Testament reading right here for this 41st RSS, Rastafari Sabbatical Study here for this 41st Sabbatical. Let's go to the Hebrew here, Queen Makeda here with clean hands. The evening psalm for the first day, the psalm that was chanted in the temple in Jerusalem by the Levites on the first day, a.k.a. that is called Sunday. So for the first day service right here, have Psalm 24 here in the Hebrew. Sister Queen Makeda, check out Clean Hands, and the Clean Hands Tour coming forward. Here. Shema Yisrael.
And שנה ועל נחרות יחוננק מי יעלה בהר בהר יהי נקי כפיים ובר לבב נקי כפיים ובר לבב you have clean hands and a pure heart hey you have clean hands and a pure heart
who can stand to his holy mountain who can stand in his holy place he who has clean hands and a pure
First day, Isis. So right here, moving forward. You know, that's from Psalm. She has a new version too, Psalm 24. I would like to share that here on the ear. And also there is the touring that's coming forward. So I'd like to keep ones updated on that as well. That's Queen Marketer. Check out Queen Marketer, Clean Hands. Got a couple of vids and some of the music on the YouTubes as well. That's basically this psalm right here. Another reader from the Hebrew. See if you can pick up on the relic. Yes, I practice makes perfect.
The soul is not written in stone, no, no. Oh, man, there is humility. When will you find honesty? Choose the good within, don't lose your soul, no, no.
Mizmor Kafdalet, Le David Mizmor. לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, תבל ויוש ובה. כי הוא על ימים יסדה, ועל נהרות יכונניה. מי יעלה בהר אדוני, ומי יקום במקום קודשו? נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם את אדוני, וצדקה מאלוהי ישעון. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך, יעקב, סלע. שאו שערים רעשכם, והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשכם, ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד. סלע, 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 סלע,
As the last man says, the last eye, yes, I, Kadamawi. Kadamawi, 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 how the Selassie, the man child, lit to the far eye, Tefari. So here, let's ride up right here. We have the seventh here, seventh Aliyah here on the After Shabbat, the first part, After Shabbat podcast, was able to get up to fulfill the sixth. So here we have the seventh coming forward here. Like to reason a little bit more on why the reading, you know, because we speak about from the old to the new or the renewed covenant, you know, concerning the sacrifices, offerings, seeing most of I and I not deal with the debtors, you know what I mean, and no longer to that. So we need to reason on the significance on the reading, you know, and the word sound, right, and the prayer, right, and the praise as opposed to the literal, you know, the letter of the law and the debtors. So let's reason on that some more, right? So here. Yes, I like to play this part from Psalm 141 right here.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
Wise, lush, perfect, blessed,
Let my prayer be set before thee as incense. So if I have no incense, may my prayer be like the incense. And may the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice. So I put my hands up. That's as though I've given the eye all the offerings that the eye require. Yes, I. So here. Or that the eye has shed. You know, because we know that, you know, what he requires more than sacrifice, but to show mercy. So here, let's write up the seventh Aliyah here and to the prophet's reading and the new covenant reading and hopefully a reasoning here.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Ket meleket ta ebodata lo ta esu we ha godam hadala yawa shibata yamin. And on the 15th day of the 7th month, the 7th moon, ye shall have a holy convocation, an ayla ivocation, a set apart called calling together to gather mikra kodesh. Ye y'all shall do no servile work, and ye y'all shall keep a feast to the Yahweh 7 days. And ye y'all shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor, la Yahweh, to Jehovah, 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish, and their minka, their meal offering, shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals to every bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2/10 deals to each ram of the 2 rams, and a several tenth deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a chatat, a sin offering besides the continual itinual burnt offering, his minka, meal offering, and his drink offering. And on the 2nd day, ye shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot. The minka, meal offering, and the drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manna. And 1 kid of the goats for a chatat, a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering, and the meal offering thereof, and the drink offerings. And on the 3rd day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their minka, their meal offering, and their drink offerings for the bullock, for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manna. And 1 goat for a chatat, a sin offering besides that continual burnt offering, and his minka, meal offering, and his drink offering. And on the 4th day, 10 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, their minka and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manna. And 1 kid of the goats for a chatat, a sin offering besides the continual continual burnt offering, his meal offering, and his drink offering. And on the fifth day, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without spot. And their meal offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a chatat sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his mincha meal offering and his nesek drink offerings. And on the sixth day, 8 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish in their meal offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meal offering and his drink offering. And on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish and their meal offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks and for the rams and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering, his meal offering and his drink offering. And hear, Shema, give ear here for the Maskir, the Maskir for this Shabbat Avinchas, Shabbat Avinchas, Senbet Phineas. Hear. Numbers chapter 29, here at verse 35, for the Maskir. Bayom Hashemini is Arata. Tihye lakem kol ne'leketa ibodata lo ta'esu. On the eighth day, ye all shall have a solemn assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye all shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor, la Yahuwah, to Jehovah, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, their mincha, meal offering, and their drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meal offering and his drink offerings. These things ye all shall do, La Yahuwah, to Jehovah, in your set feast beside your vows and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings and for your meal offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. And Moses told the Bnei Yisrael according to all that the Yahweh commanded Moshe. And hear. Fourth book of Moses, Hebrew book called Numbers, chapter 30, the law of vows. And Moshe spake to the heads, the Roshay, the Rashes, the heads of the tribes concerning the Bnei Yisrael, saying, this is the thing which the Yahweh hath commanded. And hear, fulfillment of this Shabbat Torah reading for Shabbat, the Pinchas, Kubur Lakalu, Kubur Dimsu, Kubur Hailu, glory to the word, glory to the sound, glory to the power, Kubur Labinu, Lamelkenu, glory be to Ainai Father, Ainai King, Kubur Lakadamawi, Haile Selassie, glory be to the first power of the Trinity, Beshem Yeshua, Ha Moshiach, in name of Getachina, name of Metchanatach, in name of Jesus Christos, yes, I, Rastafari. Amen. Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 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 Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. For 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 thee as incense. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. As incense. Before thee as incense. As incense.
After the reading of a section of HaTorah, the law, the following baraka, the following blessing is said. Baruch ata Yahweh Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Blessed art thou, he who be, who he be, I and I, Elohim, true good, true God, King of the universe, universal King, who has given us the law, HaTorah, of truth, and has planted everlasting life in I and I midst. Baruch Ata Yahuwah Noten HaTorah. Blessed art thou, Adonai, who givest I and I the Torah, the directions, the instructions. Jaloh. Wa'imru. Amen.
Bible. Shout out to songs and the wicked them tremble. Live by the Bible.
Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu Torat emet vayeolam natei Vatokanu. Baruch atah Yahweh Noten HaTorah Shelah.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadash Aliyot. 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 Aliyot.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar B'Nebiim Tobim Veratzah B'Debrehem Hane'amarim Ba'emet. Baruch atah Adonai Habocher B'Torah U'Moshe Abdo U'Be'Israel Ammo U'B'Nebiei Ha'emet Wa'Tzedek. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai.
Book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 46 to chapter 19, verse 21. Besa ma'aba wawalet mefesokadus ahadum lak. In the hand of Yahweh, Buruku, was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the Nabim, the prophets, with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the Elohim do to me, and more so, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time? And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Yehuda, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness, to Bamidbar, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, Yahweh, Buruku, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, it was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of Yahweh, Buruku, came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of Elohim. And he came there to a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahweh Buruku came to him, and he said to him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh Elohim Zabaoth Buruku. For the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh Buruku passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, the Tararoch, and break in pieces the rocks before Yahweh Buruku. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, Issach. But Yahweh Buruku was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Oh. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh Elohim Zabaoth, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thy altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Yahweh Buruku said to him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be Nagus over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Maholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Yehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Yehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said to him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered to him.
Amen. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jah Rastafari. Kebole Kwalu, Kebole Demsu, Kebole Chailu, Kebo Kedemawi Haile Shelasi.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu, Moshiach Yeshua, Wehabarot, Shel Habarik Ha Hadasha, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohenu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai
Echad. The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 41, Pinchas, Phineas, from Romans chapter 11, verse 2 through 32. We begin, B'shem Ha'ab, V'Habein, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Romans chapter 11, but spiritual Israel is finding salvation. Verse 2, Beit, verse 3, Gimel, verse 4, Dalet. Lo zanach ha-Elohim et damo asher yidau mikelem. Halo tedau et asher ha-katub omer be-Eliyahu wepua tzo'ek el ha-Elohim al Israel lemor. Yao et nibieka harku et mizbachoteka harasu. Vayvater ani lebadi, vayibakshu et nafshi, rume anna oto debar Elohim. Hisarti li shebat alafim ish, asher lo karau lebaal. Elohim has not cast away his people that he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant, according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. National Israel is judicially blinded. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? El Chalila, Elohim forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? The Gentiles won. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Whereas the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, that thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partaketh of the root, and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of lack of faith, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Elohim spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief and lack of faith, shall be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which by nature, that be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel is yet to be saved nationally. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the fathers, for the patriarch's sakes. For the gifts and callings of Elohim are without repentance. For as ye, in times past, have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their lack of faith, through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. For Elohim has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Kaburula Kailu, Kaburula Dimtu, Kaburula Kailu, Kaburula Ketamawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Let the message touch up. Rastafari, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Elect of himself, my tent and the rebel exhibit in my second. Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks. Torah, Torah, Rabba, Chabarim, Shali, Tainai, brothers, Ras, Sahar, Ahad, for the reading of the Haftarah from Kings, and also Tainai, brother, Taras. For us, Ayush and Tafari, for the reading, right there, powerful reading from Romans, Epistles of Romans, chapter 11. I don't know if the Haverim recall, and also, hail up to one of the viewers, subscribers. They made a mention from this chapter here about Yisrael, Israel. you know, the blindness. And I think we emphasize the partial, says the that partial blindness. But spiritual Yisrael, and when saying spiritual Israel, right, we're saying the spiritual among Israel, because there's some different Gentile, like in interpretations or misinterpretations of this. But first of all, first and foremost, Temesken, Temesken, Exiabu Mesken, hallelujah.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be Temesken, Temesken, Exiabu Mesken. Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos.
First day, resurrection, first day, coronation. Yes, I, the first day, creation.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Jah created the heaven and the earth, then created man of his own likeness. Gave unto man wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes, I wake up, wake up, wake up. So right here, still make play this again. Give thanks, Ross, Iason, you know, for the read right there. But it's just a rhema word right here, even on the ear and the irid, even in this 130th year, the 130th anniversary of the birth, the earth day of the man child. We say Christ in his kingly character, the Moshiach. Right, the Moshiach ben David, the Messiah, son of David, the Messiah and the kingly character, second advent of Moshiach. Very interesting. Just take note, Habarim, the Ethiopic book of Enoch. Enoch speaks of the two advents. In the book of Enoch is the two advents. And in a study that we had done previously, you have to go to the study again with the Habarim, do some research and get into the study right there. It speaks about the two advents. And Hebraically or Judaically, there is an ancient doctrine concerning Messiah, right? Messiah, either two Messiahs or the Messiah in two different advents. And this was a particular reason that goes back hundreds of years, even before, right, before the so-called first century time or the time of the birth of Yeshua HaNotri, right? And this is why even the book of Enoch is a very good point of reference, because it's brought out there as well. We look at the first advent, we get the Messiah, who is directly, explicitly called the son of the womb man, and he is known as the Messiah of the Mishalim, the proverbs or the parables, Messiah of the parables. But then in the second advent, right, we get the Messiah, right, descendant of David. And one particular feature that we note in the Ethiopic book of Enoch is that on one hand it says that there doesn't seem to be anything overtly extraordinary, but this one would cause a rise of Yisrael, the rise of that concept of Yisrael and the unifying of his people, and he's a descendant of David. And he appears as a man, but yet there's a more than man aspect. But there's a very humble aspect to that second advent as compared to the Messiah in the first advent, the Messiah, the son of the woman, the Messiah of the parables. Well, we'll touch on that a little bit more right there. But here,
in this Torah reading and feeding, the 41st, for Pinchas, or Pinchas, interesting how it's spelled in the English, Pinchas, Phinehas. Now, Nahas, with a th, Nahas is brass, or another sense of brazen. In the Amharic, we have Nas. We have Nahas, like brass, brazen. Phi, the phi, the p, the pi, the mouth. Oh, yeah, there's a Rhema audio we'd like to share right here, here, here. But there's a Rhema word, Rhema, like right now. Where it says, man does not live, you know, by bread alone, but by every word that cometh, that proceedeth. You know, the right now word, the word that though written before is speaking about right now. It's being revealed right now. So in that reading there from Romans chapter 11, one verse really, well, many verses stood out, but the first one that stood out that called my attention to this, even speaking about the sacrifices, and talking about the sacrifice and the reading of the sacrifices. And previously in this 41st sabbatical Shabuah, we had touched on this here, the Musaf Amida, the Musaf, or the additional, you know, the additional prayer, the standing prayer, the additional part of the standing prayer concerning sacrifices and a practice, right, even in modern Judaism, of reading these particular sacrifices during the holy season, right? And there's an emphasis here, as we have in Hosea chapter 14, verse 3. Now, King James Version translates it differently. It says, for we will render the calves of our lips, the calves, C-A-L-V-E-S, if I'm correct, calves. Calves are like a baby, you know, like a baby from like an oxen, a bovine family, like a baby cow or baby ox. But a more better translation, right, as the sages quoted the prophets concerning this particular reason, concerning the sacrifices. Should we continue to sacrifice and offer animals? What was the purpose of sacrificing and offering animals? It explicitly, even in the Psalms, said that he does not desire these things, and he would not eat, you know, the flesh of these animals or drink their blood. So why was the sacrifices even, we say, instituted? Now, a clarity of point and position that was brought out in the reasoning, hopefully we can highlight some points right here, right? Because in I and I practice, even here on the in and the irid and the twos and threes, or in the minyan, you know, the ten mind them, you know, because ten, you know, standing, you know, giving prayer is signified within the ancient teaching as being likened to the tabernacle worship, getting those ten Torah observant mandem, that in Jashite. And, you know, we went into some of the reasoning, like why the sages say this, and going to the scriptures and looking at the Hebrew, we can really see the wisdom there. You know, there's that divine wisdom there. So here, let's see if we get this section here. Was it Maimonides? Okay, so let's bring this out right here, right? First of all, when we're talking about these elements of sacrifice and looking at the reality, even 3,000 or so years ago, right? Meat, speaking about meat, you know, speaking about the debtors, meat, you know, flesh, wine, and bread, they were all precious commodities, like food, you know, and even today, food, real food, but see, we're being fooled by, you know, all this fake food, but real food is a precious commodity, right? And people and persons are like reluctant to just part with them easily. Now, Nicomedes, one sage from roughly around 1194 to 1270, he saw that the animal sacrifices as having intrinsic worth and serving a powerful psycho-moral purpose. Take note of that, a psycho-moral purpose. Now, we will put it like this, a psycho-spiritual purpose, focusing on the nefesh, the soul, the psyche, and on the ruach. Right? In other words, the non, we could say, material aspects, you know, of our being. We have our body, our carbon organic structure. So here, Nicomedes saw that the animal sacrifices, right, had an intrinsic and have an intrinsic worth and serves a powerful psycho-moral purpose in which the corrupt individual was subject to a vicarious death experience, one that impelled him to confront the meaning of his own life and his own, we could say, mortality,
right? Ramban, Leviticus 1 and 9. Now, there's an interesting word that we have in the scripture as well. And we're going to stick into Romans right here, where Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paulos, he says this right here in Romans chapter 8, right? In Romans chapter 8, he says this, chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "For I reckon," this is speaking about the creation delivered from suffering and death. That means even the animals for thousands of years in many cultures were subject to sacrificial death, you know, because there's a certain principle that is universal. But now here among the Hebrews, here John has chosen the people, right, to reveal his will and to wean them off, right, from the low degrees to the high degrees and the true spirituality. So here, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the section, the creation delivered from suffering and death, kept for the sons of God, for the B'nai Elohim. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Now, we've gone over this before, but it's always eyeful in the true psycho-spirituality to go through it again right here. Revealed where? Not, it doesn't say to us, but it says revealed in us, right? The glory which shall be revealed in us, like even the King of Glory, his glory that shall be revealed in us, in I. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," the earnest expectation of the creature. See, the King James Bible don't use the term animals. So you have to be study and be wise. And so while creation and even creatures, there it's referring to animals, right, as well as when specifically naming types of animals. But here, Romans 8:19, it says, "For the earnest expectation," the earnest, the almost like the zealous, right, the earnest expectation, like a hope is an expectation in truth, an earnest expectation. What does the creature? So even the creatures, they expect something. They are waiting for something. What are they waiting for? The creation, all creation, the nature and the natures, they're waiting for the manifestation of the B'nai Elohim, of the sons, the children, right? The sons of Elohim, the power. Verse 20, "For the creature," speaking about even the animals and creation, the nature and natures, "was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." And the idea of hope to bring out the, say, real world sense of it, the expectation, what you hope for is like what you expect, you know, whether it comes or not, but what you expect, that's your hope. Verse 21, "Because the creature itself," the animal creation, the nature, the natures itself, "also shall be delivered from the," what, "the bondage of corruption," the bondage of corruption, "into the glorious liberty of the children of God," the B'nai Elohim, the sons, the children of Elohim, the nature of natures. Verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation," the whole iration, all of creation, all of nature, all of the natures, all the animals and creatures, "groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Now, this is an interesting verse. I read this years ago. That's just a good, you know, the King James translation got that kind of Shakespeare kind of thing going on right there, you know. But as we grow in grace and knowledge of the King of Kings, Christ, you begin to recognize and even see it in the reality. You really look at creatures and creation, not just in a zoo, but if that's where you go, that's what you do, then check it out. We're looking in their eyes. Do you see? Do you not see? Can you see? Or are you like Israel, blind, or have a kind of a partial blindness? You can see naturally, but you may not be able to see spiritually. For we know, not we guess, not we believe, not we hope. No, well, we know. We have that gnosis, right? That science, that living real world science, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also." So here, you know, some people say, well, man is man and the animal is the animal. That's why the whole evolution reasonings, you know, and from what perspective we approach or reproach it is interesting. But here, what the scripts say right here, and not only they, not only the creation, but ourselves, I and I selves, humanity also, who have the first fruits, right? And we of Moshiach, who have the first fruits of HaRuach, of the spirit of the Irid, even we, I and I, selves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Now, this word adoption is to be like made as a son or a daughter, taking one as a child, making one as a son or a daughter. For the adoption, the making I and I as sons and daughters, to wit, the redemption of our body, the redemption of our body, because, you know, we look at the reality of creation and go back to even great civilizations like Mitzrayim, like Kemet, and like the Assyrians, and like so many others that archaeology is bringing, digging up, you know, grave robbing them, and we're learning something about all their grave robbery and everything, is that this idea of death, they knew death was a corruption. In ancient Mitzrayim, the Hekapata, Egypt, they embalmed the bodies to preserve it, right? And they spoke about resurrection. Right, but what do we have here? A connection here, even in the Hebrew and the Israelite and the Judahite texts and scriptures here, even in the New Covenant sense here in the Epistle to the Romans, Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Saul, a.k.a. the Apostle, his new name Paul, he is reasoning on these things, and these things are intrinsically, we say, Hebraic and according to the teachings of HaTorah, right? Even that part about work, where you talked about work and faith, work and faith. We touched on that when we went through the Amidah for the Sabbath, the standing prayer for the Sabbath and festivals from this document here by Rabbi Chaim Halevi Donin called To Pray as a Jew, a guide to the prayer book and the synagogue service. Now, I usually don't recommend a bunch of books, you know, but this one here from years of research and having to be wise in order to gather, you know, even a little bit of knowledge from, you know, some of these sources, you know, these resources out there. This is a very good resource, you know, because I think what's going on here is that they kind of recognize some of their own ethnic, you know, the European, Eastern European Jews don't even really know, you know, what it is that they supposed to be as a Jew. So therefore, he might have written this for them, you know what I mean? But for we, you know, we the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, you know, Rastafari Yehudim, it's very instrumental. We advise one to get a copy and come, Chavarim, let's study this together. But here, this section right here, it says, let's just share this right here and go in some Q's and A's for this sabbatical study. Now, that first part there is a whole meditation and the reasoning. What do you think, Chavarim? Do you think the animal sacrifices from even then, not saying that this is necessary for us now, because this is what the Brit Chadasha shows us, it's not necessary for I and I now in the face of the King of Kings Christ, Yeshua HaNotri, Yeshua HaMoshiach, right? But this is the same reasoning that even the Yehudi, right, even come to, right, even somewhat overtly apart from, you could say the Brit Chadasha, but the reasoning, right, the logic to say, the logos, the logic, the word is one and the same. So what we're saying here is that in the New Testament sense, we have a outworking of what many of the Yehudi, even the Jews of today, still are reasoning on, but because they put it apart from our black Lord and Savior, the Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, you know, perhaps they will accept the real Yeshua HaMoshiach because perhaps the Jesus they reject is the Kaiser, the Caesar Borgia, and that we, the black Jews, also reject. That's Antichrist. Who's warned about that. But the animal sacrifices, did they, might, according to HaTorah, what do you think, have an intrinsic worth and serve as a powerful psycho-moral purpose in which the corrupt individual was subject, get that word there, subject to a vicarious death experience? Let's go to Romans here. Chapter 8 that we just read. Remember, you heard the word subject, verse 20. Verse 20 says, for the creature, the animal creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly. So when somebody brought an animal for sacrifice, do you think the animal said, yeah, that's right, I'll die for you. You messed up, but you could kill me on your behalf vicariously. You think that's what the animal said? The animal did that willingly? But what does the word say right here? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason. But by reason, the logic, the logos, the word. In the beginning was the word, with Elohim, be Elohim, right? By reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, right? That's why it says in the next verse, because the creature, the animal creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, who's telling us this? It's Apostle Paul. And Paul, as even Shaul tells us, right, that he's a Jew, right? He's an Israelite. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He's a Pharisee. So this is why we study even books like this right here, and we start to see, okay, you know, the truth for ourselves, in which the corrupt individual was subject to a vicarious death experience. Now, lest one say, oh, look at the Hebrews, the Jews, the Israelites, they're killing animals. But then we look in history, right, and we look throughout history of all people on the earthly plane, and we see that they had some sacrifices of one kind or another, sometimes animals, sometimes even people, right? Think about it for a moment. If somebody did something wrong, right, then shouldn't they pay? What is this idea of vicarious or substitute? Is there some power in the symbolism? Even in ancient Kemet, for you Kemeticists, even in ancient Mitzrayim, they did these things. You know what I'm saying? But also how they understood these things and their symbolic level, we need to consider this here when we're studying HaTorah. Now, moving from Nachmanides, right, the Ramban, right, to Maimonides, right, he sees the sacrificial system as a necessary adjunct to a rebuilt temple. So there's an argument, the reasoning among many Yehudi, especially Eastern European, you know, the popular Jews, you know, over there in the state, you know, about whether to build the second temple and bring Messiah. Some say building the second temple will, I mean, the third temple rather, it will bring Messiah back again. And then ones know with the Dome of the Rock and with, you know, the Muslims and Islam. You know, you know, we can go into that right now. What's interesting is that this idea about the temple was already transformed from the old covenant type to the renewed covenant type, even in the New Testament, the Brit Chadasha. Because this is where it says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple, right? Your bodies are the temple of Elohim, right? So it's moving from the object lesson, right, to the true reality. So the sacrifices were object lessons, right? And what Maimonides said furthermore is even more applicable. It's also true that Maimonides, he took a limited view of korbanot. So even though he thought that, well, the sacrificial system is necessary adjunct, you know what I mean, like kind of leading to, right, a rebuilt, you know, and dealing with that rebuilt temple, it's also true that he took a limited view of korbanot. Generally speaking, korbanot is sacrifices, right? More properly speaking, korban, since karo means to bring near, it should be offerings, so korban, right? Korban, you know, like the drink, they have the drink called korban. Now, he argues that, now here's the point, that the sacrificial system had been commanded not for its own sake. Now, there are some, even Yehudi and others, you know, that think that this sacrificial system has been commanded for its own sake, but as a pedagogical concession in order to wean. See, this was about weaning the Bnei Yisrael, this people, right, that Yahuwah Eloheinu had chosen. He chose them and to wean them away from the idolatry or the other practices of the other nations and, quote, to establish the truly great principle of our faith, of the Emuna, right, of our Emnet, of our Amen, the existence and unity, the Tawahido of Elohim, the oneness, right? Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, the Echad, right? That oneness of Elohim. Now, the custom of sacrifice as a way of worship was then so ingrained among the people in general, among all nations, right? And all, even the ancient Egyptians also partook, right, of sacrifices, right? Now, like I said, it's interesting of how they interpreted checking out this book called Herbach, right? Herbach, the Egyptian initiate. And I caught a section there where the disciple was being, you know, told about sacrifices. About, it wasn't about the sacrifices themselves, but a symbol of like correspondence, like, you know, a symbolic, like we say, a vicarious, one offering this animal, right, in place of themselves, right? And it was offering something more, you could say, perfect than themselves. So this idea of a vicarious sacrifice or kind of a substitutional offering, therefore we can see a universality in it. But now what distinguishes HaTorah is the purpose of Yahuwah, right? What was his purpose? His purpose was to wean them, right? To wean the B'nai Yisrael away from those practices practiced by all nations, especially the great nations, the nations that were nations before Yisrael became a nation. Remember, we're the babies, you know, we're the youths, you know, amongst a nation, right? The custom of sacrifice as a way of worship, as it says, a child shall lead them. So Israel at the child, while Egypt, Assyria, they're like the ancients. The custom of sacrifice as a way of worship was then so ingrained among people in general, the Israelites included, and in this context, the Israelites especially, that to have forbidden them to engage in the only form of worship. So it's a key consideration here. When we talk about worship, people have a faulty idea of worship today. We talk about worship. You hear the pastor and the preachers talk about prayer and worship service, and people be doing a lot of stuff. And when I look at a lot of the stuff, according to what the Torah defines as worship, it's really not worship in that true sense of worship, right? But this was the form of worship, this sacrificial system, right, that according to the context had the idolatry of all nations all mixed up in it, not just Ham, not just Shem, not just Japheth, but all of them, all together. So to forbid them to engage in the only form of worship that they understood or thought they understood would have gone against their nature and gone against their nature. And they would have been incapable of obeying. I mean, we already know they fell short, but they would have, you know, they would not have even suffered to try, right? The symbolic action provided. So here's the key connection with the Herbach Egyptian initiative book, and this book here, How to Pray as a Jew by Hayim Halevi Donen, right here in this section, right, of the Amida standing prayer for the Sabbath and festivals. Here's a consideration of the portion that we read at different times, the Amida, the Musaf Amida, additional reading that often is referring to like Numbers chapter 28. That speaks about the different kind of offerings at the different times of the year. We have like the daily offerings, just to go through an overview right here. We get to chapter 28, we have the daily offerings, you know, verse 9, the Sabbath offerings, the new moon, the Rosh Chodesh offerings. We have the offerings at Pesach, Passover. We have the offerings at the Festival of Weeks or Shavuot, Harvest, Pentecost. The offerings at the Festival of Trumpets, the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the offerings on the Day of Atonements, Yom HaKippurim, and also the offerings at the Hag, or the Feast of Booths, or Sukkot, Tabernacles. So there's certain offerings. So the practice today, right, is that we recite these offerings, right, and as Hosea chapter 14, verse 3 says, we fulfill, we will render the offerings of our lips in place of the bowls. Now, King James somewhat obscures it, but if you're good at that Shakespeare, you know, good at Shakespeare Old English, or you take some time, you'll get it, right? We will render the offering of our lips, the calves is the bowl, right? The bowls, the little baby bowl, you know, the offerings that are mentioned in Numbers 28 and 29. But instead of the debtors, we will give the word sound and power, right? In the true hymenel, the true emuna, right? The true faith, the true amena. We will render the offering of our lips in place of the bowls. So bringing this point forward is the symbolic action provided by the sacrifices was therefore permitted to continue. So what we have is a concession. That's why elsewhere in the scriptures and the prophets, the Nabim, it says that, you know, I did not command you sacrifices when I brought you out of Mitzrayim, of the Hekapita, Egypt, or Kemet. He did not command us sacrifices and all these things. He didn't command us this, you know, when he brought us out. You know, all he commanded us to do was to Shema, to hear, give ear, Yisrael. So therefore, the symbolic action provided by the sacrifices was therefore permitted to continue. Though in, and this is the key part here, when we consider the sacrifices, the Torah, Sinai, the revelation here, the offerings, this is a severely restricted fashion. This is severely restricted. There's a lot of things that are totally different than what they were used to before they came into the Berit, before they came into this covenant, as was the covenant at Har Sinai, right? And what we call, and what is called the law of, you know, the Torah of Moses, the law of Moses that was revealed through Moses, Moses being the mediator, right? Moses, the mediator of the old covenant, Rovenu Yeshua HaMoshiach, the mediator of the new covenant. So here we had a severely restricted fashion. How was it restricted? Well, first of all, every firstborn son, right, of a family, of a tribe, or a clan could not, right, assume the role of priest or a high priest of a family or a clan and offer offerings, like Yahuwah, right, to El Elohe Yisrael, right? Now, of course, if he did it to another god, that's right there, you know, that's a judgment there. But he could not offer to Jehovah, right, after we have Sinai, especially the molten calf incident. It's brought clearly in the molten calf incident. It would only be the Lewim, the Levites, right? It would only be the Levite. Next point, it was that it was confined to just one site, and that was the temple in Jerusalem. Well, that became over time, over the history of the Israelites. First, it was like, I think, Gibeon and Nob. Right, there were some places where the tabernacle was, and when the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, was built, you know, in Jerusalem, right, we get the first one, we get the second one, and some are reasoning about a third one. Some Yehudim Jews are reasoning about a third one. For I and I, as a Rastafari Yehudim, we the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, we see it as being fulfilled, right, in the Brit Chadash. And know ye not that your bodies are the temple? Right, that's if his ruach, his spirit, his irit dwells in you. And even here in Romans chapter 8, just using this as a point of reference, right? Remember, Paul already gives a sign and a hint, right, when he says that he's an Israelite. And even in chapter 11, he's breaking down even to the Israelites that for a time, right, there'll be a time where Israel and that covenant and that Baraka of Israel will be set aside for a time, right, because of the blindness that in part had happened to Yisrael, and that other nations, right, would come into more or less this way, right, into Yahweh. We could say, as the world calls it, you know, different forms of what they call Christianity or the faith in the Hebrew Messiah, right? So we have this right here, just a little bit more right here. So by limiting its practice to just one group, only one group could offer. So before we come to Shemot or Exodus and to the wilderness in Sinai, before we come there, right, different sons, you know, different firstborn sons, you know, different ones could offer, right? Different ones could play priests or act as priests, right? But now here, it's only one group, and that group is the Kohanim, the priests, right, who acted on behalf of the people, the rank and file Israelites. So the Israelite mind them can bring a sacrifice, you know, but he could not offer the sacrifice. He would offer the offering as his offering, but who would perform and do the service, right? So outlawing also with it was outlawed other practices, right, that John viewed as being intolerable that was then associated with, generally speaking, what was called or what can be called idolatry, right, of the nations, of peoples, all peoples, child sacrifice, right, temple prostitution, self-mutilation. All these restrictions, writes Maimonides, serve to limit this kind of worship, this kind of avodah, right? And to keep it within those bounds, within that Hashem, Jah Jehovah, right, did not think it necessary to abolish the sacrificial system altogether. But prayer and supplication can be offered everywhere and by every person. So there's a difference in the sacrificing. It had to be done in a strictly restricted and limited way for it to be acceptable, for one to remain in good standing in the covenant, right? But as far as for prayer, right, and praise and supplication, right, giving thanks could be performed everywhere. Why do you think David, in that audio that we like to share right there, you know, from Psalm 141, you know, the audible. If you don't know the audible, well, get to know the audible right here, where it speaks about what?
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Let my prayer be set before you as incense. Now, if you overstand the pattern and the type, and going forth to offer in the priestly fashion, there's the eishens, the offering of eishens. He said, let my prayer be as that holy eishens. So though David is saying, well, I'm not a priest in that sense to go in and to offer like that, you know, but let my prayer, oh Yahuwah, right, be as that eishens offering, right, in the holy, you know, in the holy place, in the tabernacle, like before your presence, before the Ark of the Covenant, right? And, right, and what? What about the next part of what we're talking about?
Let
right?
my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
As the evening sacrifice. So in these two chapters here, 41st Sabbatical Study, Numbers chapter 28, 29, we also get those evening offerings, which are evening sacrifices, right? So those sacrifices are lifting up of my hands, right? So he's like saying, well, I can't offer the eishens and may not have eishens to offer, but may my prayer be a substitute, right? So this symbolic correspondence, right? You know, we use it all the time, even in language, right? We use it heavily in language. We use symbolic point of reference to communicate finer psycho-spiritual points. So let's understand the science of the linguistics as well. But here, just to bring it to a fullness, because we got like 21 minutes here, you know, before we go into the third Iowa. But let's go to chapter 11. May even like to play that audible there by I and I brother again for one to get a full, you know, Iowa full record right there. You know, going from the Torah to the Haftarah to the prophet's reading here to the renewed covenant. Here we're in chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Romans by our brother Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle to the Gentiles. Yeah, he has another name. We call him also Apollos, right? Here in chapter 11, right? Let's just read up to the point right here. Chapter 11, this section. But spiritual Israel is finding salvation. Now, among the Gentiles, right, the Greco-Roman and the other like-minded nations, they basically say that, well, spiritual Israel, when they read this, it's like it's no more for Israel. Like Israel is over and done with for Israel, you know, because they say the Jews kill Christ and they say all these kind of things. But actually, no, those Jews, you know, I say those niggas, they basically snitched, you know, they snitched on him and they, you know, gave up the Moshiach to the ops, basically right there, the Romans, you know, like the same people of the people in the Battle of Ottawa, you know what I mean? And also the fascist invasion of Ethiopia, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so spiritual Israel, they try to spiritualize it, right? And then some say, well, the church is a new Israel. This is a popular doctrine. Mm-hmm. It's obvious they didn't really understand what Paul was saying right here, right, in chapter 11, right? But the real meaning of this is the spiritual amongst Israel, the spiritual among Yisrael, right? Not those who are too deeply carnal-minded, right, carnal-minded. And we have Paul even speaking on that elsewhere, right, when he says that, for I bear them record in chapter 10 that they have a zeal. Now, Phineas has a zeal here, right? But they also have a zeal of Elohim. but not according to knowledge, not keeping it in the divine science, the da'at. Da'at, scientia, means knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. So instead of his righteousness, it's them self-righteousness, right? And have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of Elohim. So I'm trying to deny, you know, Christ and his kingly character, the Messiah, the second Advent, the Moshiach ben Dawid, we not behold, Kenamawi, Haile Selassie. But here, Paul says, I say then, hath Elohim cast away Amo, his people? Speaking of Yisrael, Israel, Yasha'Allah. Chalila, Elohim forbid, for I also am an Israelite. Paul is saying this. He says, I'm an Israelite, and of the seed, the race of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, Yaman. Elohim hath not cast away his people, Amo, who he foreknew. Who he foreknew. What ye not, what? That's the old KJV, King Jamesian, old Shakespeare. What ye not basically means know you not. It's like saying know you not, what you not, what the scripture saith of Elias. This is Elijah, Eliyahu. Now, here that's interesting. In this Torah reading and feeding here for the 41st sabbatical study for Shabbat Phineas, right, we have First Kings, right, the reading in First Kings, right, First Kings chapter 18 with Elijah. So even the connection of the New Covenant reading, so from the Torah, right, to the prophet's reading, and then bring it to the fulfillment right here in the Brit Hadasha, right? So here it says, what ye not, know you not, what the scripture saith of Eliyahu, of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Yisrael, against Yasha'Allah. Wait, Elijah is making intercession not for Yasha'Allah, for Israel, but against Yasha'Allah, against Israel, saying what? Verse 3, Adonai, they have killed thy prophets, the Nabim, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, Elijah was no snitch. No, somebody like, why you say that, Ross? Yadin, why you saying that? Well, in the time of Elijah, there was one of the prophets, the prophet Obadiah. I don't know, just got some static come through the line, right? You know, the prince of the ears at it again, right? In the time of Elias, there was the prophet Obadiah, and there was Jezebel, right? And there was the prophets of Baal, right? The Baalers. There was the Baalers, right? And they were about all that fraudulent, they were doing that flogging shite, you know, because of Jezebel and everything, right? This foreign princess that one of our kings, a weak king, had married and everything, and she was running the whole show, right? She was like, yeah. So anyway, what happened is that there was a whole contest with Elijah, and Elijah had murked like 400 of them. And then he thought sure that when Jezebel got this and heard about this, she going to fall back. But she was like, nah, you know what I mean? She ain't going to fall back. So Elijah kind of like ran and everything, right? But the prophet Obadiah, during that very same time, he had hidden, right? There was Obadiah who had hidden many of the other prophets of Jehovah so that the Baalers, the Balaam, you know, the Balaam who were like the prophets. It was almost like Jezebel, like she had like some mega kind of church, mega heathen church, counterfeit Christian kind of thing going on. And then she had like men working for her. They were like her pastors, and they were the Balaam, right? The Balaam, you know, which is the Balaam and everything. This is why, you know, Elijah says what he says. So Elijah wasn't a snitch. When he says, I'm left alone, Elijah was on the front line. There were other prophets, right? But they were hidden in different areas, different caves. And Obadiah, heal up, I'm be you. Obadiah, he was basically supporting them. So he didn't say like, well, it's me and those other prophets, because they were looking to kill them. That's why I said he's no snitch. It's a part of the Midrash kind of study on these areas of scripture. So when he says, I am left alone, it's like, you know, like when a man said, like, there was others who did this thing, who's about this thing, but I get kind of get caught and everything, but I don't, like, snitch out that there's others because, you know, they've gone to ground and everything, right? And I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the ants of Elohim to him? What does Ha'elohim, what does the Almighty, the power, the nature of natures, says to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Right? Now, also in the First Kings, compared with this right here, it brings out more of what's going on there, right? You know, and also we can apply it to these days and time. But verse 5, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant, right? A remnant according to the election of grace. Now, here's the verse. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Right? So walk is no more walk. Work is no more work. What's he speaking about? He's speaking about Paul. Elsewhere, he admits to being a Pharisee, and, you know, he was under Gamaliel. And, you know, those ones who are known, you know, Hebraically and Judaically, you know, to be real people. And so we see a connection in much of even some of the ancient Judaic writings, you know, and also, you know, the New Testament, you know, writings as well. So here, let's bring this forward right here. Here's the part right here. Indeed, as we have seen, even when the temple was in existence, prayer had become widespread in synagogues. As we mentioned before, the synagogues, some refer to them as like the Knesset, right, in Hebrew. Sometimes also as the Kehillah from Kahal, Kahal, as one of the Torah readings, Wayah Kahel, right, and he assembled, assembling, right, even when we assemble together as His Majesty, Kadamawi Hala Salah, he says the church is not the building, not the mere building. Is a faithful fulfillment. So we had the synagogues like the Hebrew churches. It was even an essential or assemblies, an essential component of the sacrificial ritual. Still, there was doubt as to whether prayer could ever fully replace sacrifice as a way to worship Ha-Elohim. Only after the destruction of the temple, now we know that's 70 A.D., and the New Testament writings is right there at the cusp of these events. In fact, we say the martyrdom, so to speak, of Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, of Rabbeinu, actually points to about maybe 30 plus years before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, right? So right here, it says only after the destruction of the temple was the doubt resolved. But notice that in the Berit Chadash in the New Testament writing, the doubt is already resolved. That's why we recommend a good Hebrew version. You know, there's a good Hebrew version of the Berit, you know, Chadash in the New Testament. You know, so the key words, because these key words refer you straight to HaTorah and to the Berit HaYishana, or what once called the Tanakh, the Old Testament, so to speak. Now, prayer became widespread. The widespread means through which the Yehudi, right, the Judahite, could give expression to the basic concept underlying the Korbanot, right, to, we could say, not the phi cycle, just the physical, but to the metaphysical, right, the concept that underlies or underwrites, so to speak, that underwrites the Korbanot, the offerings. The same spiritual benefits that had resulted from the sacrifices. What was the sacrifices? Now, in Hebrew, we call this the Avoda Shebe Ma'aseh. The Avoda Shebe Ma'aseh, the Avoda, or Avoda, modern Hebrew, Avoda Shebe Ma'aseh. The Avoda is the worship or the service. She, short for Asher, right? In older Hebrew, She is like that which is, that which is, he who is, or that which is, be, and on, or by way of ma'aseh. Ma'aseh is doing, is like working, asa, to do. Ma'aseh is doing. So this is brought out as Avodah Sheber Ma'aseh, the worship of doing. But this is what Paul is reasoning about in Romans, right? In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, when he says, and if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work, right? So once again, the same spiritual benefits that had resulted from the sacrifices, which is referred to as the avodah, the service, she be ma'aseh, the service in the doing as the priests and the Levites, right, and preparing the offerings and going through the offerings, were now seen as emanating, right, as like radiating from prayer. And prayer, right, is what is known as the avodah or the avodah shebelev. Shebelev, right? In modern Hebrew, the avodah shebelev, or in more of the ancient pointing, the avodah shebelev. The avodah, the worship or the service, right? The service that is in the heart, heartical, or the worship of the heart. So this is the point that has been reasoned, right, among Hebrews and Israelite, and especially the Yehudim, right, all during the intertestamental period between Malachi, right, to Matthew, and what's the apocryphal books, you know, bring it out right there as well. And so here we already have in the Brit Chadasha, in the New Testament, among the Yehudi, the Jews, the Nazarene, that follow Rabbeinu, Yeshua HaMoshiach, right, that mediator of the Brit Chadasha, for I and I, that resolution of that fact, as well as the true temple, right? We recognize in this carbon organic structure known as the body, know ye not that your bodies are the temple because of Haruach, of the spirit, of the Irid. So this is sheer reasonment right here, just zooming into that first portion, that first section right there, and then this kind of builds even elsewhere in the New Testament writings concerning faith and works. Faith and works. The argument basically is about, you know, whether to do the physical offerings, and therefore according to the tabernacle type, or whether the prayer and praise and that worship of the heart would suffice. This is why ones and ones then went to the prophets and to the Torah, like Hosea 14 and 3. We will render the offering, right, the calves of our lips, right, the word, sound, and power in place of the bulls, right, in place of the bulls. And one final point right here from the ancient teaching. The ancient teaching has this reasonment between Elohim and Abraham. Elohim and Abraham is reasoning. Right? In other words, looking at HaTorah and meditating and studying it, you can see this possible reasonment going on between Elohim and Abraham on how Yisrael, Israel, might be forgiven its sins. Now, Abraham says, well and good, while the temple is in existence, speaking about the old temple, the stone temple, the Beit HaMikdash, like Solomon's temple and then Herod's temple, when the temple will no longer be, what will be then? Answers the Almighty, I have already provided for them in HaTorah, in the Torah, the order, right? After that order of Malachiah Tzedek, the order of the sacrifices. Whenever they read it, I will credit them with having brought the offerings before me and grant them pardon for all their transgressions. Now, this is from the Megillah 31b and Ta'anit 27b. But these reasons are ancient. This is not like nowadays we have access to them, but when we trace the providence, we get to find that this is the reasoning going on in those 400 years between Malachi and the birth of the Moshiach Yeshua, right? And this is also the reasoning that we have in the Brit Chadasha and the resolution, right, on, you could say, that side of the true faith, of the worship of the heart, you know what I mean, on the offering of, as David says, my prayer be set before thee as the aishins, as the incense, right, and the lifting up of my hands up, right, as the evening sacrifice. Getting some Q&A's right here. Stay tuned. Got a couple of minutes right here on the call in the Blog Talk podcast portion of this. Hopefully we'll have a fuller full and getting some Q&A on this 41st. Yes, I. It's about to come.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
Earth's rightful ruler, Earth Day.
Fear in the Hamla. Get him out, we Rastafari. Got him out, we Ayatollah Christos. Lift them up, my rock, God. Deny you to live. Kings of kings, lords of lords, conquering lions of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, mighty God, ever living God, Earth's rightful ruler. Blessed be the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For I delight in the law of the Lord God, the Lord High. In his laws do I meditate day and night. Therefore I must be like a tree and planted by the rivers of water, and bread for fruit in due season. I lack, also shall not wither, and whatsoever I do it shall prosper. The weak out are not so, oh no. They are like the travel to wind drive it away. Therefore no weak out shall stand in the judgment, nor no sinner the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord God so high, that he knoweth the ways of the righteous, and know that the ways of the weak out shall crumble and burn. But he's a light and earthquake, brimstone and fire, to kill crumble. Conceptions for my creation continually, and to let thy righteousness cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The end from that I walk until this I walk. Beautiful eye, so high and so mighty.
Yes, 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 yes. We're living in mystic times, the time, the time, the time. Time just seems to be moving, yes, I am. But the dog star, yeah, isn't 60 seconds, y'all, 60 seconds, you know, for ones on the call in, hopefully on the live stream on Rastafari Israelite. So, you know, we'll keep this up to fulfill right here, go to some basic questions, because there's a lot packed in right here. Earth Strong 130th, the Son of Man, the Man Child. Just that reasoning alone, you know, goes into eternity. But right here, let's deal with some basic parsha questions for this Torah reading and feeding right here, on the ear and in the eye right here. So for the sabbatical study right here, Talmudim, get your copy books if the eye has opportunity, or at least return to it when you get an opportunity. But give ear right here. First question right here, what was Phineas's, just waiting right here for us to cross over right here to Hebrew, to cross over here into the third Iowa, for the third Iowa right here, little Rastafari sabbatical chat, a table talk right here. First question, what was Phineas's full name? According to the scripts, his full name was Phineas ben Eleazar ben Aharon HaKohen. His full name was Phineas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, or Phinehas ben Eleazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Question two. Elohim said that Phinehas had turned his wrath, his cham, chema, that turned him from going cham, right, against Amo, against his people. That Elohim said that Phinehas had turned his wrath away from the people. What did Phinehas do, and who were the main characters involved? Well, according to the narrative here for this 41st sabbatical study for Phinehas, Phinehas, he had killed one named Zimri, Ben Salu. Now, hopefully we have the time to get into some of the metaphysics of the name, because it takes even the reasoning and meditation on the basic text. Go from a Hebrew perspective, even the name, right, of the characters, right, in the narrative, sometimes give an interesting reflection on what the narrative actually be. So hopefully we get into a little bit of the metaphysical study on, hold on for a moment. Yeah. All right, right here. Let's just get the metaphysical Bible dictionary on Zimri. We went through it before. I don't know if we did an audible on it or not. Probably didn't do an audible on it. Maybe did, but right here, just live right here on the ear and in the eye. Let's look at Zimri. Zimri, his name. And who Zimri was. Right? Because what Phinehas did is interesting. It can be done and it has been done to show such righteous zeal. But at great risk, right, to the righteous doer. Right, but at great risk. So here we have Zimri. Zimri, his name means in the Hebrew Zimri, Zamar. We see it automatically as Zamar. We say Mizmor, Mizmor to chant, to intonate, to chant, like Isis, right? So we have Mizmor and Zamar mean to chant, Isis, not so much to sing. We have a word for sing, like song is shir. Shir is a song, and Mizmor is a chant. Like we say Isis, right, or a certain type of orthodox or cantillation. So Zimri means celebrated in song. Zimri, right? Zimri. Also singing, right? Zimri. Music referred to as Zimri. Praise also Zimri, like the Mezmor, Zimri. Jubilation, Zimri. Dancing, which accompanies it, Zimri. Leaping, Zimri. Mountain sheep and gazelle also is referred to as a Zimri. Who was Zimri, right? So we have Zimri, right, being killed by Phinehas, right? Zimri ben Salu. He was a prince. He was a head man, a Nasi, even a Rosh, a Ras, of the tribe of Shimon, of Simon, and Kozbi. Interesting, Kozbi, Chazab. Chazab in Hebrew is like a lie, like Chazab, you know? So Kozbi has from a similar. So she was a Midianite princess who were acting, quote, improperly, to say the least. They were getting it on, right, while prayer and worship ceremony was going on, right, in front of the whole camp. They were getting on. And Zimri, let's go into Zimri a little bit, son of Zerah. We have one Zimri who was a son of Zerah, the grandson of Yehuda, right, in 1 Chronicles 2 and 6. In Joshua 7 and 1, we have another Zimri. He is called Zabdi. Now, the Zimri here is a second Zimri, son of Salu, a prince of the Simeonites. He was slain by Phinehas in Numbers chapter 25, verse 14. We have a third Zimri. He was a servant of Elah, king of Israel, who killed Elah and reigned in his stead in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 9. Then there's others also of the same or a similar name. So that's the five cycle. That's the basic, the five cycle, the first of the two truths. So let's get the full HD here. The Hebrew metaphysical definition, metaphysical definition here, the meta, is that Zimri represents an inner sense of harmony. So looking at the science, the linguistic science, the knowledge of what's in the word, right, according to its context. So Zimri, remember there were four or more different Zimris, but we're looking at this Zimri, right? So Zimri, the metaphysical overview of the name, is an inner sense of harmony. Also an inner lauding, like they say, like laud, like applaud, or one graduate, cum laude, lauding, like a sense of praising. thus a lifting up of the activity of life idea in the individual consciousness, in the indivisible dual consciousness. Thus, the meaning of Zimri, celebrated in song, one celebrate, when we celebrate in song, we lift up, right, activity of the life idea in the indivisible dual, right, like in the individual, and I consciousness. So we sing in song, we dance, music, but also we have the mountain, sheep, and gazelle aspect, right, of the Hebrew word. In this way, a new and increased realization of life and liberty becomes vibrant throughout the consciousness. So just based on the science of what the name and the word means, we have like the mizmor. This helps explain mizmor. Mizmor is more in the Hebrew. It doesn't get any translation, you know, in the or transliteration in the KJV. But the closest to it from the same root is this word zimri. So we can apply this aspect to the Psalms, chant a psalm a day, right, and the Isis. Now, unless established in understanding, in the true standing, right, you know, the true standing, unless established in understanding and spiritual dominion, it is likely to contribute to just such conditions and situations as are expressed in the histories of the persons named Zimri that are mentioned in Numbers chapter 25, verse 14, and 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. So although Isis and the Psalms and music, so we can apply the principle here to music. I think they attribute this to one named Plato, right? Plato, or maybe Socrates. Okay, Socrates or Plato. One's, of course, will correct I and give thanks. But one of these wise men, they call them philosophers, said that if people listen to the wrong kind of music, they become the wrong kind of people. Now, remember the doctrine, you know, what Balaam taught, you know, Balak, right? The people cannot be cursed if you could get them to curse themselves. And let's note how music contributes to that. And in fact, there's a documentary some years ago. They sold their souls for rock and roll. It should still be out there, maybe on the tube, on YouTube or whatnot. We'll probably check for it ourselves and just take a check of it. It's very interesting. There's a part there where it speaks about how music, especially rock and roll and the music industry here in this North Country, you know, here in the Americas, have been used, right, to demoralize, you know, demoralize, to kind of hook people on some, you can say some modern day witchcraft, so to speak, you know. But here, the point about song, so the song and music and song, right, can have an uplifting aspect, right, and a new and an increased realization of life can become vibrant throughout the whole consciousness because of Zimri, because of song, because of chanting, because of music, that musical connection. But unless established in understanding, unless it's a good standing, you know, people say flat foot and 10 toes down, and spiritual dominion, right, unless established in understanding, and spiritual dominion. Now, just understanding without spiritual dominion or spiritual dominion without understanding, but both understanding and spiritual dominion, it is likely to contribute. It's likely to contribute to just such conditions and situations as are expressed in the histories of the persons named Zimri that are mentioned in here for this 41st sabbatical study, Shabbat Phineas, Numbers chapter 25, verse 14, and another Zimri in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. And in the immediate descendants of the one who is called Zabdi in the 7th chapter of Yehoshua, of Joshua. Now the Achan, the Hebrew, Achan of the tribe of Judah, Yehuda, who committed the trespass that is told about in this chapter, guess what? He was a grandson of this Zimri or this Zabdi. Now, further reason men can pick up from here on Zabdi, but that goes outside of the, you know, the direct scope right here, but a good point of reference. So what did Phineas do, right? And who were the main characters involved? The main characters was Zimri ben Salu, and Phineas killed him, right? As well as Cosby, right? A Midianitish princess who were acting, quote, improperly, to say the least, or getting it on, right, in front of the whole camp, the whole congregation. I like to say they were getting it on while prayer and worship, a very mournful, sadful prayer and worship, lamentationful prayer and worship was going on. Question three, why did Elohim bless Phineas? Right? Now Phineas, people say, well, Phineas, he killed, he murdered. Somebody say, he murdered. No, he didn't murder him. He killed him. It's manslaughter. It's not murder. You know, it's manslaughter. People say, well, but how could Jah bless him? Well, that's what we're asking now. Why did Jah bless Phineas with a covenant of peace? More specifically, why did he bless Phineas with what the Torah says, my covenant, right? Bariti, my covenant, shalom. My covenant, shalom. Now, we compare this here in the Brit Chadasha to the sayings of Robeno, of our Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, when he speaks about, don't think that I come to bring peace, you know, like in the world, but rather a sword. And he says his peace is not like the world peace. And that sword there we know is that word of Elohim. But we liken this here to Phineas's action, right, further fulfilled, right, in the wisdom of the Messiah in the first advent, Yeshua. But here, why did John do this? Well, this is to alleviate. Some say it's to alleviate his fears. There were fears that members of the tribe of Shimeon, right, would seek revenge for the death of Zimri, right? You know, this is what happens nowadays, right? When something like this happens nowadays. Somebody busts in when where a man and a sex worker is getting it on, you know, and everything, and then kills both of them, you know, in the hood, you know what's going to happen. So it's interesting to see how Jehovah intervenes right here. But what is more interesting is this covenant of peace through an action that doesn't seem very, in some people's view, very peaceful. It seems to be what some people call non-pacificism, right? question four, what did Jah tell Moses to do regarding the Midianites and why? Well, Jah told them to harass the Midianites and to smite the Midianites because it's through their wiles. Like I said, the wiles of Diablos, of the Satan, that they seduce Jah people, the men of Yisrael, or many of the B'nai Yisrael, and cause them to uck up, to sin terribly against Eloheinu, against Elohim, against the true good, the true God, and also against the covenant. Now, we've already likened this right here, you know, to what a lot of what's going on even today. Ain't nothing new under the sun. You know, maybe they called it sorcery back then. Now they call it pharmacy, you know, today. You know what I mean? Maybe they call it a hole in the wall, Baal Peor, back then, and now they call it a strip and the whole over-emphasis on carnality, right? You know, black lives materialistically. But it was because of the Midianites, right? Because of the Midianites and when you think about it, the Midianites, wasn't the Midianites, there was Jethro, right? The Midianite, right? You know, it seems like there was some sort of closeness at one time, but then we get Balaam, right? We get Balaam, and now we get them sending their woman. So what's interesting, the Moabites and the Midianites, although the Moabites, they receive grace, right? Jah gives the Moabites grace, right? But some ask the question that if the Moabites, this is question five, question five here, if both the Moabites, speaking of Balak, right, and the Midianites, speaking of Balaam, sought to harm Israel or demoralize or cause the Israelites, the sons of Israel, to demoralize themselves. You know, they said, what can we do to those sons of Israel that they can't resist? the part that is, like they say, cracks me up as, when I think about it, it says, Jehovah Adonai laughs in heaven, but, you know, the heavenly laughter and the seed shall be called in Yitzhak, and Yitzhak mean laughter, is that why didn't they just go and fight Israel? You know, these are men, they're men, right? Just go fight. Why would they send their woman? And the Moabites did it, right? And the Midianites did it. So both of them did it. Why did John command only that the Midianites, right, to be destroyed or to be harassed and hit, right? Why did John order a hit against the Midianites? Well, right, and not against the Moabites. Some say it's because of Ruth, Kherut. Ruth, who was to be the great-grandmother of Dawid, of David, was to descend from Moab, right? Moab. And as a question for future reasonments, what about the Moorish connection to Moab? What can we reason on here? And her merit preserved the entire nation, right? Her merit. Some say it's her merit, which was to come, that preserved the entire nation. Question 6. John commanded two persons to take a census. Who were they and who was to be counted? John commanded two persons, Moses and Aaron's son, Eliezer, were to count everyone over 20 years of age, tribe by tribe. The only exception, of course, are the Levites. Question 7, what were the two reasons for the census? What were the two reasons? Two reasons to plan for war. Well, actually, the plan to get the inheritance. You know, there's an interesting thing in the Hebrew, you know, the word inheritance, right, and to inherit. The word inherit in the Hebrew, it implies a kind of a sense of driving out former occupants. That's over a direct way. The secondary sense of it is the yarash, the word yarash, the Hebrew yarash. In the Ethiopic of the King of Kings, we have Weresh, right, as his majesty was known as the Alga Weresh, the Alga, Alga like the bed, the throne bed, Weresh, the inheritor of like the bed, the inheritor of the throne, the Alga Weresh, right? It's at the time of going from Dejazmach, the commander of the gate, the keeper of the door, right, to Ras, right, to Ras Teferi. Right, Rastafari Mekonnen, right? He became the Alga Weresh, right? Or the crown prince and some say plenipotentiary, you know, and also, you know, the heir to the throne, right? So to inherit kind of implies, right, this sense of some work that has to be done. And I often liken it since the scripture says that Jehovah is Earth's rightful ruler, the earth is Jehovah's and all of her fullness, the world and all they that dwell in her, right? So since the Psalm, even this first day, Psalm 24, says that, it's like if you own a piece of land, right, and this land is yours, right? It can be a big piece. Sometimes in ancient times, people will own large estates, right? And I own a piece of field out there, and I already sent for the people there to get off the land because maybe their contract or whatever run out, or they violated my rules for tenancy in my land, right? And they won't leave, right? And so, you know, I decide, all right, I'm going to, you know, give the land to someone else, right? And therefore, they, in order to inherit the land and to claim that land, right, have to push out these other ones. This is an ancient sense, right, connected Hebraically with the word Yarash, right, and like Weresh. So we have Yaresha, Yarash, and Weresh, right, the Y and the W interchanging. So the reason for the census was to plan for war, the Milchama, and to determine how much land each tribe inherited. In other words, the principle is a principle that comes forward right here. And this is question 8. How was it to be determined which tribe got which land? How was it to be determined? Well, it was to be determined by lot, you know, almost like to liken to a rolling of the dice, proverbially speaking, by lot. And also based on the principle that those who had more numerically in the tribe got more land. and those who had less according to the number of ones in their tribe, the number of sons in their tribe got less land, and those who had more got more land. Question 9, how much land were the Levites, Halloween, to get in the land? None, though they were given the cities of refuge and the outskirts. So in a sense, they were given these cities of refuge, which become like sanctuary. And this is the principle that underlies even in among the Gentiles and in the Western Gentile Judeo-Christian world, that underlies the legal principle of sanctuary. You might hear about sanctuary. Even many, you know, immigrants, legal or illegal, whatever, you know, but if they're legal, they probably take sanctuary in many churches. So we have this even out on the West Coast and in other parts, you know, of the country. There's a principle from the ancient times, and in other cases, these churches also were sanctuary. So in a sense, the Levites were kind of given these cities of refuge, which were like not just churches, but kind of community sanctuaries, as well as the outskirts, or what the scripture called the suburbs. That means the land, you know, lying about, you know, the unwalled land about. Question 10, what was remarkable about the tribe of Shimeon, of Simeon in the census? What was remarkable? Well, the original census of the tribe of Simon, of Simeon, it showed that they had 59,300 males. But after the sin of Baal Peor, right, Baal Peor, Baal Segor, the Lord of the opening, right, the pimp of the opening, only 22,220 men were left. So previously they had 59,300 men. After the uckery of Baal Peor, the Lord of the opening, right, the pimp of the opening, they only had 22,220 men. Apparently many men from this tribe followed the example of their tribal leader. And who was that? That was Zimri ben Salu. Zimri ben Salu, the Nasi of the tribe of Shimeon. And they were killed during the plague. So the plague broke out. Now it's very interesting because we be hearing most dangerous diseases, you know, in Revelation talk about those vials of diseases. Just went to the Rona, you know, and the Rona still lurking around, heard about some monkey business, you know, going on. But anyway, let's move forward. Question 11, who was Zelophehad and why is he important? Who was Zelophehad and why is he important? Why does he stand out? Well, he was a man of the tribe of Manasseh, who died in the Midbar in the desert, who had no sons. He had no sons to inherit the land. Now, if they had gone forward, the old heads, the elders, like 40 years earlier, then, you know, they would have got some land. But now, 40 years later, you know, he's dead, right? And he doesn't have any sons. Now, his five daughters, they step up and they ask Moshe, right, if they could inherit their father's land rather than have it go to their father's brothers. Now, when we read the narrative, basically they say, well, can we inherit the land, right, you know, for our father's name, right, for the name of our father? They emphasize, the daughters wisely emphasize, right, for their father's name. But another way of reading it as well is that the brothers, the father's brothers, wouldn't get that land. So his case is important, especially to study Har Torah, right, and Hebraically, Judaically, here as we study case law, right, Takanot. This is like a good case study right here. This case is important because it, first of all, gives precedent, and it shows that God's law could be, quote, changed, right, or renewed in some aspect, or as one says, updated, right, in light of new circumstances, thus the Brit Chadasha. Here. Question 12, let's explain the basic laws of inheritance, right? Explain the basic laws of inheritance. Now, if there were no sons, or daughters in a family to receive an inheritance. When we say an inheritance, we all speak about land and all that the land contains. All right? The brothers of the deceased were to receive it. If there were no brothers of the deceased, then the brothers of the deceased's father, such as the uncles, right, on the father's side, were to receive it, and so on and so forth. Question 13, from which mountain did Moshe see the land? From which mountain? It was Mount Abarim. This is a range of mountains, right? A range of mountains that is known as like a range of crossing. That's a range of mountains, and this is a crossing, right? Because the Hebrew word, right, Ibri, like Abraham, Abraham in Bereshit, Genesis is called, right, Abraham ha-Ibri. That's brought out in translation as Abraham the Hebrew, ha-Ibri, ha-Pri, right, Habiru, ha-Pri, right, Apiru, right? Now, Abarim, right, it shares the same root with the word Hebrew, right? The Abara, right? The Ein, Beit, and Reish. The Ein, the hard and the more guttural A sound, the Beit, right? The B, and the Reish, and the R, A-B-R. It is also called Mount Nebo. So the same range of mountains known as Abarim, Abarim, according to geography, is also called Mount Nebo or Nebo, right? In Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and 1. Now, this is the place, this is the spot, this is the cipher, the place where Moshe could not cross over. Moses could not Hebrew here. He could not cross over here to enter into the promised land. Question 14. Let's describe the sacrifice that was to be offered daily. What was the sacrifice that was to be offered daily? This is called in Hebrew the tamid. The tamid. Tamid means like continually, daily. From the Ge'ez and used in the Ethiopic, right, and using the Amharic translation of the King of Kings for the true church and the professing church, we call it Zewetir, something known as Zewetir. Zewetir, a kind of a Ge'ez construct, it means like continual. So there's such a book and a document known as the Zewetir Tzelot, some of the early printings of that by Ras Tafari Mekonnen. He bought that first printing press, the Berhanan Salam, the Light and Peace printing press. So there's this document known as the Zewetir Tzelot. That's known as continual prayer. And that right there brings out the sense of what we was reasoning on with the sacrifices, right, from the so-called phi cycle, right, to the metaphysical, right, from like we could say more the outer type to the inner type. So describing the sacrifice that was to be offered daily, right, or the tamid daily upon the Mizbeah, this was a sacrifice of a defect-free male lamb, along with unleavened bread and wine. Now the bread and wine, that's the Melchizedekian symbols there, remember Melchizedek and Abraham, which was offered both in the morning and at twilight. This is known as the Korban Tamid, the Korban offering Tamid, the continual offering, right? So in the New Covenant sense, the true church and the professing church, the Church of Philadelphia, the only church of the seven churches that didn't get a rebuke from Moshiach, right, was we have the Zewetir Tzelot. So we have where prayer, right, replaces that offering. So we have the Zewetir Tzelot, continual itinual prayer that replaces the Korban Tami, right? The Korban, the continual offering of the debtors. In effect, the sacrifice of the lamb was constantly occurring upon the Mizbeah. So we start to put things into context, right? To see how we get to the Brit Chadasha is to recognize, even from the Brit HaYishana, that this is a continual thing going on and on and on. This is why the Epistle to the Hebrews read that way. And even elsewhere where Rabbi Saul or the Apostle Paul is speaking, he's speaking that way. Because this is nothing new, in a sense it's renewed, but it's really nothing new. Question 15, why was Moshe not allowed to enter the promised land? Well, because of the sin, the uckery of striking the rock twice at the Kadesh. That place was also known as Meribah, right? The place of provocation or strife. Question 16, who killed the wicked magician, Balaam? Who killed this wicked magician, right? Who knew a little bit of Yahweh, right? He knew Jehovah. One thing interesting, he knew Jehovah, you know, is the Netcher of Netchers, the Elohim, although he dabbled with other things. It's interesting. Now, according to the Judaic tradition, it is said that Phinehas killed Balaam in the battle against the Midianites. Some say using, you know, the seats of the Kohen Gadol, right? The seats, the seats is like that, is, if I'm correct here, is part of that crown of the high priest that displayed the name. The seats is what displayed the name, where the high priest would have like on the mitre or the turban. He would have like a crown, the golden crown, and would display the Yahweh, right, or the Tetragrammaton, the Hashem, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, according to the Targum Yonatan, Bamidbar, according to the interpretation of Jonathan for Bamidbar for Numbers. Next question, question 17, why did Moshe change Hosea's name to Yehoshua? Why did Moses change Hosea, right? Hosea, his name to Yehoshua. Some say it's because he was afraid that Hosea's humility would make him susceptible of being influenced by the spies, right? The spies, you know, years earlier, those spies who came back, the 10 of them, the majority, and told lies to discourage the people from going forward into the Canaan, into the Africanite, the African land. Hosea means, right, Hosea brings out the sense of saved, right, saved. Some say it means Jehovah has saved, but Hosea has a sense of saved, right? And Moshe added the yod, to the front of his name of Shemot to indicate that Yahuwah, right, that Jehovah will save. He is a saving. That you are Hosea, you are saved, Hoshua, right? It is Yah who will save. So here. Question 19. Why did Elohim choose Yehoshua? Seeker. Question 18. From what tribe was Yehoshua? What tribe was Joshua from? He was from the tribe of Ephraim, doubly fruitful. Therefore, a son of Joseph. He's a son of Joseph. Right, and remember Joseph and his comedic or Mitzrayim Isha, right, met, right? So we have 18. From what tribe was Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim? Question 19. Why did Elohim choose Yehoshua to be the next leader of Yisrael, of Yasharala? Well, because of his primary characteristic. One characteristic comes out throughout the narrative where Hosea, Yehoshua, right, is spoken of, and it's humility. As Moshe is called Tehut, right, or the Ani, right, he's the Ani, right, in the Hebrew, the Ani, Ethiopically, the Tehut, the Tut, right, he is in that humility. Yehoshua was always studying Torah, right, and therefore Tehut, Tut, right, in the comedic sense, taught into the scribe, right, into the scripts, right, and the scribe, right, the studying of Torah and serving Moshe, right, serving to Moses, being like Moses' deputy, so to speak, right, serving Moshe at the tabernacle, at the Mishkan. And he was the captain, right, of the armies of Yisrael, of Yasharala. He was the captain of the armies of Israel. So those are some of the reasons, but because of his humility, right? Question 20, how does the Judaic, right, the Judaic and even the Latter-day Jewish tradition tend to regard Yehoshua? How is he tended to be regarded? Well, many see him as an inferior successor to Moshe. right? In the latter Jewish and Judaic tradition, some tend to regard Joshua, Yehoshua, as an inferior successor to Moshe. And there's a saying that some would say that Moshe shone like the sun, right? But Yehoshua shone like the moon. Interesting right there. You know, they say that Moses shined like the sun, but Joshua, Yehoshua shone like the moon. It could be also in the post-Nazarene, right, post-Berit Kadash, New Testament, you know, Jewish times. Could be because of the similarity, right, to Yeshua. You know, Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yehoshua, Yeshua, right, in the Hebrew. Could be because of that link right there in the latter Judaic tradition. You know, but Moses shining like the sun and Joshua shining like the moon, well, you know, they became like two eyes, right, on the Hashem's face. So here in Jah Grace, question 21, how do we know that tempting someone to sin, to uck up, is worse than killing him? It's a good question here. How do we know that tempting someone to sin, right, to uck up, to miss the mark, is worse than killing him? How do we know? Well, the nations, right, the nation of this earthly plane, that tried to seduce Yisrael, Yasharala, to uck up. For example, Midian. Right, Medean, they were to be annihilated. So the first example of Kol Medina, even well, way before, right, our Ishmaelite brother Muhammad was born, we had the Kol Medina right here, right? Whereas those that simply fought against Yisrael, Yasharala, in battle, they were allowed to convert, right, and to join the nation. And some gives this example here as Moab. So what's interesting right here, right, how do we know that tempting someone to akka, right, or corrupting them or demoralizing them is worse than killing them? Well, it's because of the nations that had tried to seduce the Bnei Yisrael to akka. In this case here, Midian, right, sending their woman on us, right, to get us to worship their goddesses, right, and the pimp of the opening or the lord of the opening. Right, Baal Peor, right? We know this because they were given, right, the Israelites, the sons of Israel were given a revenge order, right? Of course, people say, well, vengeance is mine, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yes, the same Yahweh gave to the Bnei Yisrael, not because the Bnei Yisrael asked for it. He said that was real wrong what they did. They didn't even want to step up and fight you. They sent their woman. Right, they sent their woman, you know. So they kill those niggas, you know. They sent their woman. Now, I mean, think about this now in the real, right? Because this is real. This also is what goes on even nowadays is real, right? Now, those who fought against Israel in battle, right, fair and square, they were allowed to convert, right? You know, to come over to Yahweh, truth and life, and to join the nation, right? To join the commonwealth. Question 22. Can you list all of the, quote, appointed times, end quote, that's listed in this portion, in this Torah portion, the 41st for Shabbat Phineas, the appointed times, the Mo'edim, called the Mo'edim or the Mo'edei Yahuwah, the Feast of Jehovah. The appointed times for sacrifice, they include, firstly, morning and evening, right? Or one can say the evening and the morning. Right, the daily sacrifices, the Shabbat, right, the weekly sacrifices, Rosh Chodesh, the monthly sacrifices, and sacrifices that followed the seasonal course of the Shana, the seasonal course of the year, like Pesach, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, corresponding approximately like to the springtime, Shavuot, the harvest, Pentecost, the summertime, Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, the New Year's time, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom HaKippurim, Day of Atonement, and then coming into the second harvest, the harvest at the end of the year, we get Sukkot or Tabernacles, tabernacles, also known as booths or huts. That's in the fall time of the year. So once again, the appointed times for sacrifice, the evening and the morning sacrifices, the daily sacrifice, the Shabbat, the weekly sacrifices, Rosh Chodesh, the monthly, the new moon, the new month sacrifices, sacrifices that follow the seasonal course of the year, right? We have the seventh, right? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, spring, Shavuot, summer, Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Sukkot, right? Booths, tabernacles, huts at the end of the year, in the seventh moon, in the seventh month. Question 23, two more questions here. Question 23, why were two lambs sacrificed for Korban Shabbat? Why was it two lambs, right, that were sacrificed for the offering, right, of the Shabbat, the Korban, what is brought near on the Shabbat, the gift, the offering on the Shabbat? Why two lambs? Well, they correspond when we study HaTorah to the two commandments, to the Zakor, and to the Shamar, right? Zakor and the Shamar of the Shabbat. Now, this is really, really interesting because in the Shabuah, we had gone to the Siddur, right? The Siddur, not the store, but the Siddur, right? We went to the Siddur, and it's the Passover, the Seder book. And in the Lekha Dodi, how it speaks about how Shamor and Zakor were fused into one word, right, were fused into one sense. So we get in Exodus, right, one word, right, and then we get another word concerning the Sabbath. So once we get remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart, and remember Zakor, right, is a spiritual, a psycho-spiritual act, because when we remember something, we call it to mind. We think on it. We meditate on it, right? So it's truly a spiritual act of remembrance or thought, right? And to guard, in the next sense, we get to guard, right, to shamor, right, from shamar to hedge about, right, to hedge about, to guard, to protect, right, Yom HaShabbat, the day of the Sabbath. So many say that because of these, you know, two ways, right, that the two commandments regarding the Shabbat, right, once in Exodus and then in the repetition, the Mishnah HaTorah, the repetition of the law in Devarim, Deuteronomy, right, these two words fuse. So these two commandments and the two lambs that were sacrificed, right, for the Korban, the offering on the Shabbat day. Question 24, why were 70 bulls and 98 lambs, sacrificed on Sukkot, right, on tabernacles, on booths or huts? Right. Why were 70 bulls? Now, this brings to mind what we just was reading and sharing in the Epistle to the Romans by Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paulos, right, concerning how the animals were subject to vanity, right, you know, but not for, for the sake of us coming to the realization of the true way. Why were 70 bulls and 98 lambs sacrificed? Well, the 70 bulls are said to be offered for the 70 nations. Now, in reading this here, I'm thinking about the Ethiopic Book of Enoch, you know, when it speaks about the 70 and 72 nations. So the 70 bulls, right, were offered for the 70 nations. And the 98 lambs were offered to spear Yisrael, Yasharalaf, from the 98 curses. The 98 curses mentioned in Devarim. Did you know that there are 98, said to be 98 curses mentioned in Devarim, Deuteronomy, the Mishnah HaTorah, the repetition of the Torah, for those who do not obey HaTorah? There are 98 curses or consequences, right? Consequences. Interesting right here, here, here. Got a couple of discussion items, so forth and so on to share before we fulfill right here, here, here. Those particular questions there, just a little meddy, little meddy, little meddy, little meddy.
Yes, I, Rastafari. I don't know whether this is going to play through on the podcast, the broadcast, because sometimes we play certain clips, like on the YouTube. So if it's if a clip is blocked for a moment, it might be we have to take a certain audio out. But we love this one right here for the first day. It says so much right here. St. Peter.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Jah created the heaven and the earth. Then created man of his own likeness. Gave unto man wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Awake to righteousness. Yes, I. So here. All right. So hold up a moment right here. A little water right here. Got a little less than 12 minutes. Some of the reasonments, topics for reasonment, come make with reason. Hopefully one-to-ones can reason on this, either indivisible dually, individually, right, or in community twos and threes. Here, come back with reason here. So some topics of discussion right here. One, from this 41st sabbatical study, zeal. Zeal can be defined as an emotional response to perceived value and truth. Zeal can be defined as an emotional response to perceived value and truth, which can be either a good thing or a bad thing. Of course, depending on the heart's motivation and the nature of reality. After all, there are many people who are entirely sincere in their convictions, but they are sincerely wrong. So let's discuss this in connection with zeal, right? Especially the zeal of Phineas, and it's the principle of zeal being defined as an emotional response to perceived value and truth. Next subject matter of discussion, come, make reason. Each of us is responsible for how we choose to walk the road of life, how we choose to even walk out, you know, try. Yes? I all have a particular and a peculiar zeal, a desire and passion regarding what we deem to be our, quote, ultimate concern, end quote. But the question is, how is that zeal directed? How does our passion take down the road of life? Right? How does our passion take us down that road of life? How do we walk that out, and what's the results? Let's discuss the idea that, quote, reason, end quote, reason is often the slave of our passions, or enslaved and slave to our passion. Question or reasonment, reasonment three right here. Next reasonment right here. Abraham Herschel once wrote, quote, in a controversy, the instant we feel anger, we have already ceased striving for truth and have begun striving for ourselves, end quote. Good quote from Abraham Herschel right here. Once wrote that in a controversy, a controversy, the instant that we feel anger, we have already ceased striving for truth and have begun striving for ourselves. Anger is a signal
a message. Sometimes it is used to disguise fear, false evidence appearing real, though it is often related to lust. Right, lust, like strong desire to have something that you know you got no right to, or a sense of control. When we sense that we, that I and I are not in control, right, we, many of us, get angry. Come, make we discuss, come make we reason. Fourth subject topic of the reasonment, jealousy. Now, jealousy, right, or zealousy. Jealousy slash zealousy. Jealous and zealous, right? This is a complex emotion that primarily centers on the fear, false evidence appearing real, of losing the affection of the beloved. Hence, Yahuwah is called, right, a zealous, not jealous. That's a poor translation, KJV, but a zealous El, a zealous power. On the Hebrew, El Kana, the power, Kana, a zealous power, the almighty zeal. An anthropomorphic description that evokes the image of a loving, protective groom, or even a jealous lover who is passionately concerned with our heart's reciprocal affection, concerned with our heartical reciprocity. Come, make we discuss. Come. Make I and I reason. Fifth topic of reasonment discussion, zeal for John's house. It was the zeal for Elohim's house that, according to the scripture, ate Yeshua up, that ate Jesus up, the zeal for God's house that ate Jesus up and caused his undoing, at least from a worldly perspective. Now, when Yeshua said that, he's going to the Psalms, to David, Dawid, Psalm 69, verse 9, where Yeshua said that the zeal for Elohim's house had eaten him up, was the cause of his undoing, at least from a worldly perspective. He overturned the tables at the temple, at the Beit Mikdash, at the Hekah, and he stopped the daily sacrifice for the sake of our Yeshua and Yeshuot, our salvation, our victories. Now discuss this. Come, make a reason on this, especially in the light of the required daily sacrifice of a defect-free lamb. So let's discuss the fact that zeal had eaten him up, he overturning the tables in the temple, stopping the daily sacrifice for our salvation, on the Hebrew, our Yeshua, Yeshua, in the singularity, Yeshua, salvations, victories. So let's discuss in the light of the required daily sacrifice of a defect-free lamb, and it's even the symbol of the lamb, Topic number six, right? Reasonment topic number six, the daughters of Zelophehad. The case of the daughters of Zelophehad, they suggest that the law of Elohim, of Ha'elohim, of Yahweh, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, praise, Isaac be He, was subject to change, even in Moshe's day. So it's the case of the daughters of Zelophehad would suggest that the Torah, direction, instruction of Elohim, was subject to change, even from the days of Moshe. So let's discuss, make a reason on the traditional Judaic view of the Torah's immutability, especially in light of this case law. We have case law here designed to fit new circumstances like the Brit Chadasha. Does the idea of Elohim's Torah, his direction, instruction as being something absolutely static, does it comfort you or does it threaten you? The idea of John's law as being something that's absolutely static, is there comfort there or a threat to you there? Topic number seven, let's discuss how Phinehas and Joshua as types, right, foreshadows Yeshua HaMashiach. Topic number eight right here. The great revelation at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, centered. The central point was the tabernacle, the Mishkan. And the central sacrifice upon the Mizbeah, the altar, was a daily sacrifice of a defect-free male lamb, along with unleavened bread and wine, the bread and wine, the Melchizedek symbols there. Now let's discuss this reason on how this is a foretelling, right, of the coming of the Seh HaElohim, the Lamb of Elohim, to the Bnei Yisrael, to the Beit Yisrael, to the Beta Israel, house of Israel. Topic number 9, like we discussed right here, in the fullness, here, looking at the time. Let's discuss and reason on the textual oddities. There are Hebrew textual oddities, right, that occur in a Torah scroll regarding the promise that Elohim would give Phinehas a covenant of peace, according to Numbers 25 and 12. My covenant, Briti Shalom. How might the broken Vav, some modern Hebrew to say Vav, the ancient Afro-Shemitic pointing would say Wow, a Wawe, the Wow, the W, the broken W or the broken Vav, right? In the word Shalom, Shalawa, the Wa, the broken Wa, right? And the undersized Yod, there's an undersized Yod in Fi Nahas and Phinehas. How does these two particular letters here, the Yod and the Wow, how do they reveal HaMoshiach? How do they reveal the Messiah? Looking at the time right here, usually we like the 144 right here, which is the Baraka, the seal, the Shabbat seal. Psalm, also the Baraka, the blessing for the
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Yes, Shavuot Tov, a good strong, a good week, a good 7 to come. Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach. Yes, I, God bless I, keep the eye, and I and I, cause his face, his grace to shine on I and I. Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Them must be things that them can't stop me from seeing.
Cause I saw the light, no more in dark. So I said put me in the light. Yeah.
One man me fear, the Messiah. Me a boy believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me no food, no water. boy, I believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel, all when set a fire. All when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought is for real, the pain me a feel, them a kill with some vendetta.
Say what you want, say what you feel. Me no bad friends, so we could have never deal. Real, when me try stop the meal. Seems like you a send me to the battlefield. Press what you want, press, and you a steal. Run what you want, run, and you a wheel. Then straight up, then I coulda what you feel. Man a soldier, so me coulda never kneel.
One man me fear, ready Messiah. Me a boy, I believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield, without no steel. All when set a fire, all when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought is for real, the pain me a feel. Them a kill with some vendetta.
Hell dirty mind, bad mind, see fence with. Them coulda never live fi bench with. Cause to just give the praise fi essence of the so. We basket no empty. Enough time, them try fi tempt me. Must it show me a lead by far and them see. Them team up and a sign and a tie stop me time from. Me make me empty. But a one man, me fear of the father.
Me a boy, I believe in a prayer. Me step on the battlefield without no steel. All when set a fire. All when me numb, no food, no water. The love me never yet shatter. Me a thought is for real, the pain me a feel, them a kill with some vendetta.
One man me fear, ready Messiah.
Me a boy, I